Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We made this.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, and we're back after quite some time talking about the video game side of the X-Files. A considerable amount of time ago now, when we were doing our Season 4 coverage, we talked about the X-Files game, the full-motion video game on the PC and the PlayStation 1, but now the time has come to discuss the other one. And it's the PlayStation 2 game, The X-Files Resist or Serve. And back with me is our, I'd say our video game expert on the X-Cast. It is Mr. Andrew Brooker. How you doing,
mate? Am I expert in as much as I'm the only one?
That qualifies to me, all right? You know, we'll go with that. Obviously, we've, you know, over the years, there have only been a few X-Files games. You know, in the recent last couple of years, we've had a one for mobile devices which is called X-Files Deep State by Creative Mobile, which has been fun in its own right, and we've covered that on the X-Cast. We've had the X-Files game, and there was also a game called Unrestricted Access as well, which kind of cobbled together a lot of, you know, interactive database stuff. It was less a game, more like a cobble together of the first four seasons, really, you know, on CD-ROM. But then we've only really had one game that we could really count as a proper, well, I was going to say platformer, but the Resist or Serve, which came out in 2004, isn't really that. It's a survival horror game, basically.
It is.
And it's something that we didn't have before, and we've never had since.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Have we?
No. So Resist or Serve is interesting in as much as it borrows very, very heavily from Resident Evil.
Resident Evil, yeah.
Very heavily from Resident Evil. But it jumped on that Resident Evil bandwagon, and I don't mean zombies and things like that, although they are here. That style of game, that style of atmosphere, and survival horror, yeah, was a big, still is a big thing. It kind of emerged pretty much with Resident Evil. There were ones before that, but Resident Evil basically, that and Silent Hill, the granddaddies of survival horror games, they kind of led to a lot of, let's say, copycats. The Resist or Serve is definitely one of those. It's definitely trying to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, it really is, and it's we'll get into this, but obviously Resist or Serve was developed by Black Ops Entertainment for the PlayStation 2, came out in North America on March the 16th, 2004, came out in the EU on May the 21st, 2004, so there wasn't much in it there. It was, wasn't directed because it was obviously an actual video game, but it was written by Tom Schnauz, who actually was a writer for The X-Files a few years before in previous seasons. So they actually hired a writer who'd been familiar with the show to pen the storyline for this. And interestingly, it's set during, well, it's set during the seventh season, obviously, because we're covering the seventh season now on the X-Cast. And it's set specifically after the second episode of season seven, Sixth Extinction 2, Amor Fati. And it's sort of divided over three levels that are presented as episodes, which are called Renaissance, Resonance, and Reckoning. Now, the idea being that they are, it's like having another three-part story, a three-part myth arc story in the seventh season. And in this, the story essentially is that Mulder and Scully head to a mysterious town called Red Falls in Colorado, where they basically discover the town deserted, and there's all kinds of weirdness and monsters, but obviously it leads back to a very extraterrestrial source and connects back to the season four episodes Tunguska and Terma as well in an interesting way. And that's sort of not going into a lot of depth. There's a lot in this. So out of 10, let's do the usual. Out of 10, Brooker, what would you give Resist or Serve?
I'd be quite generous with this. I think I'd give it a 6.
Okay. Higher than I thought you'd give it, actually.
It has a... This game has some problems. It has some real problems. But compared to the previous game, it at least feels like a game.
Yeah, it does.
It's, you know, the story's not garbage. It's a bit of fun. It can be played and have... you don't need to know much about the X-Files, but you can pick up the game and play it and kind of figure out what's going on. It's got decent voice work from the cast, and the cast obviously includes this time David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson in more than just 12 seconds of FMV footage. I enjoyed it. It didn't feel as much of a... Okay, towards the end, it started to feel like a bit of a chore to play. But for the first couple of episodes, it felt like a bit of fun. It was over pretty quick. It didn't drag itself out much, apart from the last episode, and we will definitely get to that. It's not the worst. It's not the worst game I've played. My biggest problem... So, much like the previous game. So, I definitely played this game when it came out. But I reckon I probably would have played it once and then moved on to play something else. My biggest problem with this game was when I sat playing it recently, I went, oh, yeah, look, this looks just like Resident Evil. I wonder what year this came out. So, this came out in 2004 on the PlayStation 2. It looks just like Resident Evil, which came out in 1996.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Well, this is the thing. Obviously, the whole concept is that it's very different from the first game, because in this you actually get to play Mulder or Scully, and there are two paths you can take. You can either choose to play as Mulder or you can choose to play as Scully. And you get to do... And inevitably they get split up, which is, you know, fairly normal for the X-Files. You know, they quite often get split up and then they end up coming back together. And the show, and story-wise, I mean, I think I'd probably give it about... I did this with the X-Files game, but I'm going to split it between gameplay and story. I think gameplay, it's a 4 at best, because some of the gameplay is shoddy as hell. But the story, I'd give the story a solid 7, actually, because I think there's a lot in this, and you can tell that Tom Schnauz's script has a real understanding of the mythology, and you know, he packs a lot in there. You've got things like the idea that of modern witch hunts with these two twins who are the way in for Mulder and Scully, these two psychic twins. You've got the Tunguska mystery of an alien spaceship that's supposed to have crashed in Tunguska. You've got, like we say, zombified sort of creatures running around. You've got labs with experiments going on. You've got the myth arc, you've got the syndicate sort of running around, you've got people like Marita Kovarubius and Alex Krycek in there, you've got and ultimately you've got a lot of trippy sequences, dream sequences, and you've got a wacky ending where they end up going to an old monastery and basically take on these weird levitating floating alien things. It's bonkers. The ending is absolutely bonkers, but I love it for that, and it crams a lot in there. But you do get to play as Mulder and Scully, crucially, and both of their stories intertwine at various points, which is where you get cutscenes quite often, and then they get set off back onto their other path. So, you know, again, you played it again, and I didn't, which is what we did with the previous game, because, you know, I just watched it on YouTube. And you do see the same story unfold from two vantage points, and you see the overlap. And that, I think, is... I don't know about you, I think that's quite well done, actually.
Yeah, and for a 2004 game, it's been done quite well. It's the writing's... I'd say the writing was solid in this.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
For more than just an X-Files episode, for a game in that time, you know, the writing was very good. I did enjoy it when... Because when I first played it, I was like, oh, okay, I'll pick Mulder. And off I went and done my thing. And the second they split up, I was like, I'm not going to see Scully at all now. I'll probably see a end of the episode and that'll be it. But no, there's a lot of crossover. And not only is there a lot of crossover, but like the dialogue between the two, it feels like you're watching Mulder and Scully. You know, he's a cocky twat, as he always is. You know, and he's got some spectacular one-liners in this. Like, genuine laugh-out-loud one-liners. That I didn't expect, I have to admit. No, I think that the writing and the story, I think it's brilliant. I did enjoy this game much more than the last one.
I think the reason is that because it doesn't start like a Myth Arc episode. It starts like you say, it's Resident Evil. But it's one of those stories that begins with, you know, if anything, it's more like Syzygy, you know, with the two psychic twin girls, you know, and you get there then, and then it becomes, you know, it's basically like Resident Evil. It's like, I think it's more Silent Hill probably than Raccoon City, you know what I mean? It's more that sort of, Red Falls is more that sort of weird town where everything's creepy. You've got lots of Mark Snow's music layered over the top, really layered over the top. It's stuff from like the songs in the Key of X, which is all this really heavy, this really heavy sonorous music and stuff then from the movie, I think, and that kind of thing. So they really lay that on thick, but it helps with the atmosphere of this dark, creepy town where they're running around with their torchlights and everything like that. And you do feel like you're in the middle of a story. And then once it starts to go off and then you start to get all the characters turn up, you start to see the Smoking Man, you start to see Krycek, you start to, you know, get all these bits. You then go, ooh, this is actually becoming a proper Myth Arc story. And I always think of this actually in terms of the story. It's like the Myth Arc episode they didn't do in season 7. You know, you had the Biogenesis trilogy, you then had Requiem at the end, but in the middle you only had the Sign and Zeet and Closure and maybe NME. But they were very different sort of mythology stories. Whereas this is a proper wacky conspiracy, Tunguska, aliens, mad shit flying around story that you wish you'd got, in a way. Yeah. Like, I kind of wish they'd film this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I would like to see this as an actual episode. Yeah. I think I said something similar for the last game, like just a bonus episode on a DVD release somewhere. You know, or yeah, I don't know, a bonus feature on the latest season Blu-ray going, oh, this is what we done, you know, this is what the game was. Because it would only be 40 minutes, you know, it wouldn't take long at all.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely, it would be quite fun. But I think actually, like, it does tether to a lot of things that the show was, you know, leaving open-ended. You know, it goes back to Mulder being exposed to the black oil in Tunguska. It goes back to him having anomalous brain surgery in Amor Fati. It goes back to the fact when he sees an alien artifact, it gives him a mad headache and all this psychic stuff. You know, it connects up with mythology beats. And then it introduces things. I mean, I don't know about you. Have you ever read the Joe Harris season 10 comics?
Oh, I haven't, no.
Right, well, in that, in the first episode, first comic of that called Believers, which is basically it's essentially the alternate season 10 now, because it sort of reboots after I Want to Believe. But in that, you've got these characters, I think they're called the Avatars, and they're basically these, like, or it's the Deacon or something like that, the Deacons, and they're these alien beings that come down with hoods and they levitate and things like that. Now I swear I think he played Resist or Serve, because it reminded me straight away of this, you know, it, straight away it reminded me of this. And I was like, I quite like the idea that it takes this, you know, they end up in this weird old church in Siberia, and then you've got this massive alien artifact and this strange floating entity and all that kind of, it's really out there. It's the kind of stuff that I love the myth art when it did that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I really like that about this.
But like you say, when you get to episode 3 in the game, so like you're in a monastery and you meet the entity, everything goes just completely batshit.
It does. Bananas. Just
absolutely bonkers. I don't know. I wasn't expecting that, I have to admit. When I played it, you know, I must have had the same reaction when I played it the first time, I don't remember, but when I played it recently, I went, Jesus Christ, is this really happening? This is absolutely bananas.
Yeah, it really is mad. But it's mad you can go with, you know, and that's the thing. In a story context, like you say, the Mulder and Scully sound like Mulder and Scully. The voice acting is there. You've got all the main actors back doing the voices. You know, the script is pretty good considering it's a video game, you know, because it's written by a proper X-Files writer. All that stuff is there. The problem... Yeah. The problem is that it plays like backing up a truck into, like, a quarry, right?
It plays like a game from 8 years previous. And like we mentioned this when we were talking about the X-Files game, technology moves, and it moves quickly. And video games especially, you mentioned in the last episode Red Dead Redemption 2. So you went from FMV to Red Dead Redemption 2 in like 20 years, and Red Dead Redemption 2 looks like you're playing a film. You play this game and you feel like you're in Unforgiven. FMV, which is actually real people, looks like arse.
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
and the same thing can be said with this. So you get, like I mentioned earlier, so Resident Evil came out in 1996, and it looks just like this game, which came out in 2004. In that 8 years, things improved a lot. Well, I tell you, while we were talking, I'm having a look at some of these games that came out the same year, the same month or months, depending on where you were. So yeah, Battlefield Vietnam, Unreal Tournament 2004, Far Cry. Now, the first Far Cry is legendary for making PCs work hard for what they've done. It looked, again, for its time, it doesn't anymore, but for its time, it looked absolutely gorgeous. Resident Evil Outbreak. There was an Alias game that came out.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and that looked much better than this did.
It did. I enjoyed that. It was
significantly
wonky,
so.
But it was much better, yeah, definitely, yeah.
The first Manhunt, Hitman Contracts, all of these games looked great. Ironically, Red Dead Revolver came out, which was the game before Red Dead Redemption, which was kind of pants, but yeah. But, yeah. You know, I mean, I could spend an hour going through this list. I won't, but all of these games look significantly better than Resist or Serve, and this is where Resist or Serve falls over. It should have come out in 1998. You know, yeah. It should have come out when the X-Files game came out. It's like it's been plucked from 8 years previous and dropped down in 2004, and it just doesn't fit. The mechanics are wonky, the gameplay is wonky, it looks just awful. And it's the first thing you notice when you switch it on, and worse so when you play it back now. And like I said, I looked at it and went, geez, when did this come out? Oh crap, 2004.
I remember playing games. I'm not a massive gamer anymore, but I remember at this point I was. I used to play them all the time. And I think I remember this period. I remember the same year you had Everything or Nothing, the James Bond game.
Yep.
Which was great. I loved that game. You know, it was the lost Pierce Brosnan movie, basically. And that game was fab, right? I don't know if I'd want to play it now because I'd probably see the flaws in it more, but I loved that. And you put that, and you know, you mentioned things like the Alias game, which was really good, really fun. That was, again, like a lost episode of the show, a lost mythology episode of the show. You had things like you say, Hitman. I mean, the Hitman Contracts, those guys, they were so good. Like, you know, you could still probably play them now and enjoy them.
Well,
like,
I mean, you say that. Like, Doom 3 came out the same year as this did. We still play Doom 3. You know,
right,
Doom 3 is still a gorgeous game. It's been cleaned up a little bit recently, and obviously PCs get modded and things, but it was a gorgeous game when it came out. It was a spectacular horror game, and it does, as horrors go, it puts Resist or Surf to shame. Yeah, it's, mate, just the games. It's Resist or Surf is a good game. It's a fun game. It doesn't belong in 2004.
No, and you, the other thing is, it's after the show. Like, I mean, this is the thing. By then, the X-Files was finished. You know, it finished in 2002. Season 9 had aired. This is going back. It's getting the cast back who'd all moved on now. We're all expecting the second movie. You know, and this is 3 years before, 3 or 4 years before I Want to Believe comes out. So Duchovny and Anderson and all these guys, they're waiting for movie number two at this point. They're waiting for the next one. And it's not happening. So they get them all back for the game. And you think to yourself, well, this isn't in the right place. Like, why wasn't this coming out? Like you said, 98, 9, or if it was meant to tie in with, you know, the Mythark stuff in Season 7, bring it out in 2000, which is a more appropriate time. Bring it out in 2001 even, when the show is still on the air. Tie it in to what's happening then as well, as opposed to now plucking a lost Season 7 episode there. It's just odd in that sense. It's sort of out of time in a way, and I think gameplay had already started moving on from this. It just looks like it's done. It was done on the cheap, and it was done quickly. That all the money went into the voice artists. That all the money went into some of the cutscenes, which are actually quite good. But all the money went into all that stuff, and the actual gameplay, which is the key thing. You know, you're there to play as Mulder and Scully, wander around, you know, shoot things, investigate things, put puzzles together, and things like that. All that stuff, which should have been the key crucial thing, isn't there. And I tell you what, watching this back reminded me of, and made me think of, wouldn't it have been amazing to have a game along the lines of the kind of Telltale stuff that was going on with The Walking Dead and things like that, but with the X-Files, and having a mini-series or a season of the X-Files in that format? Don't you think that would have been brilliant?
The X-Files has been screaming for it.
Yeah, massively.
It's Telltale, what we're talking quite a while ago now. Telltale disappeared as a company, but they had deals with. So let's The Wolf Among Us, which was Fables, the comic book or the graphic novel. Sorry, that Game of Thrones. They had a Borderlands game, which was amazing. They had Guardians of the Galaxy. They had Batman. All of these games, they were 4 to 6 episodes a piece, and they would take an hour to 2 hours to get through. Each one had a cliffhanger. There was an overarching story, but there was a little story arc in the game, in the episode, sorry. It was perfect for the X-Files. More recently, you may have heard of them, a company called Don't Nod made a game called Life is Strange. Two seasons so far, yeah. As of time of recording, 2 seasons of Life is Strange. Now, Life is Strange bears more than a slight passing resemblance at Twin Peaks.
Yeah. So
now these people could make an X-Files game easily. And I say this filled with more sadness than you could ever imagine. I think a season of the X-Files game made by Don't Nod, the guys that made Life is Strange, would be infinitely better than the last 2 seasons of the X-Files that we've just got. it would be much more engaging, it would be much more engrossing, it would be what people wanted to play. And much like we talked about with the previous game, these games are made for fans to buy. They would make a killing just from fans who want more and want well-made stories. And now, you know, not in 2004 when this was made, but now in 2018, 2019, we live in a time when video game stories are they're coveted like Oscar-winning movies. You know, we gamers expect good story. We demand good story, and if we don't get it, we get very loud about it. It's a different time now for video games.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. But I think a lot of it now, and I realize I've stepped up onto my soapbox and I'm ranting a bit here. but video games now are respected more as a medium for telling stories, whereas in 98 and in 2004 they weren't. And it took a long time for games to be recognized as a place to tell a good story. And it took games like Red Dead Redemption, The Last of Us, anything Telltale done after Sam and Max, all that stuff. Season 1 of The Walking Dead is one of the greatest games you'll ever play. It will last you 12 hours and it takes you on an emotional roller coaster. And after that, people that don't play games play this game. People that don't play games play everything that Telltale make because of The Walking Dead. You know, games are a fantastic place to tell stories now, and The X-Files would find an amazing home on video games, I think, nowadays. Sadly, not so much in 2004.
No, and this is it. I suppose you've got to look at it from the context of when it was made. But, I mean, a story like Resist or Serve, which has a lot of interesting elements in it, it has a lot of things that sort of... the show would have struggled to do it in the show itself. Like, you know, having Mulder and Scully, you know, going around shooting zombies in a town like this, the show would have struggled to have done that in the same way. But I would love, you know, I would love to see this kind of game, this kind of style of game, something fairly atmospheric and dark and weird in that format you've just described. You know, with that modern sensibility, with that level of character development, with crucially as well some overlap with what's actually happening in the show, which is something that, you know, tie-in media now in all these different ways is starting to really get a beat on. You know, whether it's tie-in novels, whether it's comic books, whether it's certain video games, they're starting to realise that people want a shared universe. They don't just want, you know, an adaptation. They don't just want a version of that. They want it to mean something. You know, a good example is when, you know, we both enjoyed the Assassin's Creed series, and we were really excited to see in the film and in the video games there were references for both. Yeah. You know, even though the film wasn't massively successful, There were things in the film you're like, oh my god, that's from the games, and then in the game after the film you're like, oh, that's from the movie. And little things that didn't have to affect the other made it part of a shared universe. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, obviously Resist or Serve came out in an age where that wasn't happening, and you can't be judged on those terms, but the whole thing with this, it makes you feel like there is a really good X-Files game to be made, but nobody's done it yet, and for whatever reason they haven't gone down that road. So, it's a frustrating thing to play in terms of actually enjoying the story and enjoying the characterization and things like that. It's actually not bad. So my advice again is to watch it on YouTube. play it, right?
Don't play it. It's an abject lesson in frustration playing
exactly.
this game.
You won't enjoy playing it.
I say this a lot, actually, on my podcast. We've been spoiled as gamers nowadays. Obviously, people that don't play games haven't. But as gamers, we've been spoiled. There is now kind of a, let's say, a set control scheme for most games. So most games, if you've played one and you've gotten to grips with it, you can pick up most others and kind of figure it out without a tutorial. In 2004, that wasn't... Well, sorry, in 1996... when this game should have been made, that wasn't actually a thing. So it's just, you just get hand cramp trying to play this thing, and none of it's logical, none of it makes sense, and it's got an antiquated camera scheme. It's the fixed camera thing.
Awful.
Where you press up to move forwards on that particular camera, but if you don't let go at the right spot, you move into a new area, the camera changes, you're still pressing up, but now you've turned left. You've walked off a cliff. Or what happened more than once in this game and in most other games that have done that, you're pressing up, for example, you move up, the camera changes, you're still pressing up, and now you've just walked back to where you've came from. Excellent. As a game, an abject an abject lesson in frustration. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
No, but as a viewing experience, especially if maybe you skip some of the gameplay and you get towards some of the story, you might actually find something to enjoy.
It's one you can, again, you can listen to while you're doing stuff, and this one more so than the others, because the story doesn't stop just because you're doing a gameplay thing. You know, the story continues and the dialogue continues while you're playing. So, you know, in that way, obviously the technology's moved on. The story feels a bit more fluid than the X-Files game did. The X-Files game really needed a subtitle, because I hate saying the X-Files game when we're also talking about an X-Files game.
An X-Files game, yeah, it's true. We had a little bit of a mailbag for both of the games. I've got one piece I'm gonna focus on from Karen McKenna, who says, the only thing I like to talk about as much as the X-Files is video games, so I've got a lot to say. She has a nice chunk of detail to say here, so I'm going to read it out. It's quite a long one, but it's a good piece of analysis we can talk off. So she says that she was excited for Resist or Serve. Not only did you get to play Mulder and Scully, but I was excited to see how the X-Files worked within the survival horror genre. Didn't actually own a PlayStation 2 when it came out, but I bought it anyway, since it actually came out the week my brother was home for spring break, and he let me borrow his PS2 for a few days till he had to go back to college. I think within those few days I managed to finish Scully's story and get up to the last boss with Mulder. And I also remember before the game came out, there was this online marketing campaign where users could do things to spread the word on message boards and stuff in exchange for points to get swag. I don't think there was a lot of X-Files specific swag, but I remember I used it to get a Resist or Serve mini poster featuring the game's box art. Do you remember any of this? Because I mean, I don't know if this was just US based.
I don't remember it. No, X-Files message boards were a thing when I was at school, and I spent a fair amount of my IT lessons on them. I don't remember that, but it's... It's not something that ever came across my radar, but a lot of stuff like that was US-specific at the time.
Yeah, it sounds more like a US thing. It's quite cool, though, for that point, you know, as a tie-in thing. But, that's interesting. She says, I'd also been following the game's development since it was announced that through various delays and name changes. I think the original name of the game was Delirium before it was changed to Resist or Serve. I haven't seen that anywhere, but that could well be the case. I was always curious about what kind of development hell the game must have gone through that caused the delays. Though as a game developer myself, I know that's just how it is sometimes. But I think that's why, graphically, the game did look a bit dated even by 2004 standards, and it seemed like the first episode of the game was much longer than the second two. That's a good point, actually. I noticed that. The whole chunk with Red Falls is really long, and then the last two, they're over, like, the second one in the middle as well. It's like basically a long cutscene, and that's it.
It is, yeah. It's not very long at all.
Yeah, and you're like, well, okay, how does that work? So it's interesting she talks about delays, because that might account for some of the reasons why this was sloppy and put together hastily, because they were already behind schedule and they had to rush.
Oh yeah, it's definitely it's got the DNA of a much delayed game. I don't know when they. All I know is it was announced, I think, in 2001 that it was being developed. I don't know how long they've been working on it before then. You know, games usually have been in dev a couple of years, especially big games like that. They've usually been in dev, or maybe a year or two before they're announced. Otherwise, you know, especially nowadays, people tend to get impatient.
Yeah. Well, Tom Schnauz wrote for the last two seasons of the show. So in theory, if he was on staff in season 8, you can assume that season 8 was when they were developing this. So that's 2000-2001, which is off the back of season 7 anyway. So they were thinking, oh, okay, well, season 7 was relatively recently. So obviously, maybe their intention was to get this out there around season 8, you know, and they were way off, you know. They're like 3 years later it took to come out, and that makes it even stranger.
And that screams of a company that has no fucking idea how video games are made.
You miss your boat, basically.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened. Karen says, but dated, rushed, whatever, I still love the hell out of that game. It may have been a fairly average survival horror game, but God, it was a fun X-Files game. You could tell that the developers loved the show. They included so many characters from the show, all voiced by the original actors, right down to Chuck freaking Burks. I'd forgotten that, actually. Chuck Burks, gotta love him. And it was written by Tom Schnauz, who'd actually written for the show. It was so packed full of obscure references that only hardcore fans would get. It blended Monster of the Week and mythology, took place at a specific place in the series' timeline, and even had episode numbers, episode titles, and opening credits for each of the game's three episodes. Krychek was there, and the first thing Mulder did when he saw him was punch him. It was great. And yeah, that's it. She's right. It does have, they do include the titles, they do include the, you know, in that sense, it does, you do feel like, in that sense, you do feel like you're watching a lost episode for each of these. That's true.
Aren't they episode like 7, 97, 98, and 99 or something?
Yeah, the production codes. I mean, they're really weird production codes, but that's quite specific. You know, that's quite the sort of thing that you wouldn't know unless you were, like she says, a hardcore fan. And that's unusual, you know. She says, the game's second episode was my favourite. It may have been a little on the short side, but the fact that Mulder and Scully's stories here were completely separate experiences rather than a rehash of the same thing made up for that. I love the Silent Hill-esque trippiness of Mulder's story, along with the ability to explore the halls of the FBI and Mulder's apartment. Scully had to deal with a surprisingly intense autopsy, and then Scully's antics with the lone gunman at Roush, which is another callback to Season 5, made one of the most amusing segments in the game. Again, that's interesting, because she's right. You do in that, they, it does allow them to not just have it set in Red Falls. It does allow them to go off and, you know, have you, albeit briefly, in certain key sort of places from the show, which I suppose was quite a clever way of doing that, if you're making it like a trippy sort of, you know, Mulder on mushrooms kind of thing. And like you say, like she says, the little references, Roush is a really obscure reference. You only know what Roush means if you really know the mythology. And that's the sort of thing, you know, you got it straight away there. You knew what Roush meant because you know the show well.
I've spent far too many years watching this show, that's why.
Well, exactly. I'm the same. So like, that's really interesting. She said, I really loved all the unlockable extras in the game. Playing it as a college student studying animation and game development, stuff like the unlockable storyboards and concept art were of huge interest to me. The voice recording sessions with the supporting cast were also a fun treat. The game may have had its share of flaws, but despite everything, you could really tell it was made with love. That's really interesting, actually, because she's right. There are unlockables. There are certain element things you can get in the background. So, it like you said, I think it's a game made for fans. And in that sense, much as the gameplay's shoddy, can you forgive it?
From a player's point of view, and I do stress this, I don't make games. I can't make games. I wouldn't know where to begin if someone told me to make a game. But from a player's point of view, my issues come from a gameplay level. My issues come from, an outdated, outmoded form of camera, control scheme, everything else. And I understand a lot of that is that I'm playing a 2004 game in 2018. That doesn't help at all. But like I said 20 times so far, I'm also playing a 2004 game that was actually supposed to be made in 1996. And this is where my issue lies with this game. It's not in the writing. I think the writing's fun, like I said. And it's not in the, you know, I feel like she said, I feel like I'm playing an X-Files game. And that's pretty much all I want from it. And better than the X-Files game, I'm playing as Mulder and or Scully, depending on who you want to be, which is all you want. If you put an X-Files game into your PlayStation, the only thing you want is to be Mulder or Scully. You know, you don't want to be Carl Nobody, the dude that no one ever remembers. You want to be the stars of the show. It's, you know, you wouldn't put on the Wolverine game and expect to play as, you know, the dude who lives next door to Wolverine.
exactly. And that's what this does well, that the previous game missed.
You're playing an X-Files game, and as a fan,
I
know it doesn't sound like I am, I'm being really negative, but I am a fan, and I want to play more X-Files stuff, and I would kill to play a good X-Files game.
Yeah. This is half of one. You know, this has elements that are a good X-Files game. It just doesn't all come together for various different reasons. So it's again one to watch, not to play. And maybe one day we will get a game like we've talked about earlier in this episode, a game that befits what this show could do in that kind of world.
I would hope so. I'd love to see it, and I'd love to see one of these companies, you know, if something, you know, grows from the ashes of Telltale Games, I'd like for them to go chasing after IP like the X-Files. You know, because, you know, from a cynical point of view, it is a money spinner. You know, people would pay to play it, doesn't matter how crap it is.
Yeah.
But these people could make a good game out of it and give us a good story. I haven't been particularly enamoured with either of the X-Files games that I played. they both could have been so much better, but this one at least, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I wasn't cursing you out by the time I got to the end of this one. I may have been by the end of the first.
The first one. It's understandable. This is the better of the two, I think, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, brilliant analysis, Karen. Thank you for that. It's gave us a lot to chew on. Thanks for anyone who did voice any comments about Resist or Serve. And if you do go and play it, or you do go and watch it, enjoy it as an X-File. But it's been great fun to talk to you again about the video game side of the X-Files Brooker. And hopefully, while the X-Cast is still going, we might yet have another X-Files game one day. So we'll get you back on for that, if that's the case.
That would be nice. It's something I can actually talk about and sound like I know what I'm talking about as well.
Yeah. Well, you know the X-Files really well, and you know video games. It's a twofer. It's a twofer, mate. It really is. We can't go wrong.
I found my calling, clearly.
Well, you've also found your calling in your podcast, Character Unlock, and all the other things you do. So why don't you, before you go, why don't you point people in the direction of where they can get more Brooker?
Okay, yeah. So like you say, Character Unlock is my video game podcast. I do it once every other week with a good buddy of mine, John. We basically, video games is our excuse to just sit and chat nonsense for an hour to 2 hours, like I say, every 2 weeks. We talk about video game news, what we've been playing, basically the most informal of video game review podcasts. And we have had episodes where it's just been down to, yeah, I played this, it was crap, let's move on. But, we tried to make it interesting. So if video games are your thing, come give us a listen. Follow us on Twitter and tell us what you liked, what you didn't. Me, personally, I'm on Twitter at Brooker411. I'm usually ranting on there about something, anything that's annoyed me recently.
It's been great to have Brooker back on the show, and we'll be back for more X-Files coverage soon. All our details are in the credits, obviously, as you already know. But until we're back for more X-Files chatter, remember, as always, thanks for listening, and trust no one. Elsewhere on We Made This. Shipwrecked and Comatose. A Red Dwarf podcast.
We are into our specials between Series 3 and Series 4, and I am your regular host, Mark. With me at this time, you're not Kurt.
What a shit acting comatose. What's Red Dwarf? Who's Kurt?
Oh dear. Hello, Fraser.
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
So this is our very special, right in the childhood, Shipwrecked and Comatose crossover.
Woo, 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 woo. Crossing the streams. They tell you not to do that in Ghostbusters. But then that's what actually saves the day. So maybe we should cross the streams.
We are Starfleet.
A lot of times we have trouble facing profound grief and trauma in our past. So it is interesting. I think it was this sort of well-intentioned, sort of benchmark for him to clear as a developing being. And he unfortunately kind of had this arrested development because of the trauma that he experienced. And then, if someone had shown up a year later, 2 years later, maybe not so bad. But the burn happened. And that wasn't an option anymore.
Pick a disc.
I do think that concept of just like normal music getting associated with Christmas is much more of a British thing, which I find interesting. The Love Actually soundtrack, I mean, this might be entirely because of how much I like Love Actually and how much I associate it with Christmas, but definitely like Jump for My Love or... Even Too Lost in You, to be honest, because Sugar Babes weren't big in the U.S. like whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I know them from this song, and I know this song from Love Actually, that I do think when I hear that, my head does kind of go to Christmas time. But I don't know if that's just more of me than normal people.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network. The X-Cast and X-Files podcast was created by Tony Black and is produced and hosted by Carl Sweeney, Sarah Blair and Kurt North.
You can find the podcast on Twitter at the X_cast, on Facebook by typing in the X-Cast and in our group, X-Files Basement, the X-Cast podcast fan group, and on Instagram, the X-Cast Pod.
Don't forget, you can support the show by becoming a member on Patreon. Our patrons get early access to episodes, behind-the-scenes chats with our hosts and a thriving community of X-Files, and other premium interviews and specials. To find out more and subscribe, you can go to patreon.com/thexcast. That's patreon.com/thexcast.
We are also part of the We Made This podcast network, full of popular culture shows, including our Millennium series, The Time Is Now. You can find all of our shows at our website, wemadethispod.com, or via Twitter at @wemadethispod.
Thanks for listening, and keep watching the skies.